I've got a bit of a treat today. I'm talking to Madam Misfit. Hello, Madam Misfit.
Hello, very happy to be here.
Now, I don't really feel that I can call you Madam Misfit for the next, you know, 20 minutes or so. That's not your name, is it?
No,
you weren't christened by your parents.
I wasn't.
Yes, we want to call her Madam Misfit Vicar.
No, when anybody asks me that question, I kind of say it's a bit like royalty. So it's Madam Misfit first time, then it's just Sarah. Simply Sarah.
Okay, I'm happy with that. Sarah, how did Madam Misfit really come about?
Oh, Madam Misfit. So she is sort of a character, an alter ego of me, Sarah. Sarah is your average mother with two kids at home, but unfortunately I was kind of bullied quite heavily at school, and you know, I just kind of dealt with that in my own way until about 3 years ago, really, when I started writing comedy songs, which people started you know, following me for, and a lot of my lyrics were honed down to bullying and being that misfit, as I felt as a 13-year-old hair, mainly for having red hair. Yes, the hilarity of it. So Madam Misfit essentially is that 13-year-old girl. I'm a little bit spiky, angsty, but, you know, I'm passionate about helping those individuals that are struggling in life. They feel isolated and they don't know where to turn. A lot of my songs are written about those, about key points about bullying, confidence issues, body issues, and just identity in general, really. So that's the idea in a nutshell.
So you actually are making a social statement with a lot of your songs.
Yeah, massively. There are a lot of things. I've got an audience, I've got a crowd, I've got a following and a listening, and I've got a voice, and I like to put my thoughts and opinions into my music, and unfortunately, because of that, I've got quite a good team behind me that really support and really, really connect with my songs, as you'll see if you come to one of my events.
Oh, now there's a thought. But we're digressing, I feel. Let's go back to your voice.
Mm-hmm.
When did you discover you could sing?
So I was in school choirs from like the age of 9, really, but wasn't really much of a team player. I quite enjoyed solo work. Started singing on my own about 2011. So alongside Madam Misfit, I actually perform a lot of vintage style vocals in and around the county of Lincolnshire. I do a lot of care home singing as well. All the traditional Vera Lynn Andrews sisters type songs. And that in 2011, I attended a large vintage retro festival called Twin Woods, where they had an open mic night, and I sung a couple of songs, We'll Meet Again being one of them, and I absolutely loved it. You know, I'd always wanted to sing but never found that niche that I suited, and that was it, really. So from 2011 onwards, I was booked to perform at various WI do's, my nan's party, my granddad's local pub, and it sort of spiraled, and for 10 years I was happy doing just that and fine-tuning that kind of vintage style, warbly, reverby kind of period style voice. And then sort of Madam Misfit was born towards the end of that, when rather than being a cover artist, I wanted to start writing my own bits, really. So that's where the sound comes. You might hear a sort of vintage type.
I definitely
sound.
Picked up some of the vintage during one of your performances. I felt that, or I was thinking, you might be classically trained.
Well, there is sort of an element to my background regarding classical. Regarding singing, I've only had a few singing lessons, really, but that was just to kind of get a grips on the theory of singing so I could understand, you know, how sort of head voices and how the whole body works and the supporting. So when I go out and do shows for about 3 hours, you know, I've got the science behind it too. So I don't, you know, at the end of the day, your vocal cords, you know, you've got to really look after them. So I needed to understand. But regarding the classical side of music, I was actually in the military alongside a lot of my performing career. I juggled both. My singing was sort of the sideline, the hobby. And I was a Royal Air Force musician based at RAF Cranwell. So, yeah, when you say classical music, yes, through and through, I'm a classically trained clarinetist.
Excellent. I'm pleased my antennae's got you know, something right.
There we have it, yeah. So I've performed on many, many stage across the world, supporting some really big acts from Catherine Jenkins through to Brian May from Queen, Kerry Ellis. You know, I've played at the Royal Albert Hall, I've played at the Edinburgh Tattoo, Buckingham Palace. So regarding my musical background, yes, you know, I'm quite highly qualified in what I do.
It sounds like I feel quite embarrassed now. It's you are obviously accomplished. You've performed in these huge venues. How does being in Lincolnshire and just going round village halls probably effectively some of your gigs?
It's hilarious. I often joke, you know, that, you know, I'm used to performing at the Royal Albert Hall, thousands of people, and I gave it all up for you. But, you know, it's amazing. I did 15 years in the military and it was amazing. I joined at 18. I left early 30s. And I grew so much in a person and a musician. And it really helped me as a self-employed musician now gleam a lot of the stuff, the way I put together shows, the way my music works, and also talking to audiences and that whole round. I'm at the end of the day, I'm not just a singer, I'm an entertainer, a performer. When you come and see me, it's a show. It's not just a song I'm putting out there. I like very much for the show to be exactly the same, whether there's two people in an audience or 2,000 people in the audience. I like to make sure the person in the back corner gets as much of the same show as the person right at the front. Yeah. I very rarely stay still. This is probably the most still I've ever been in the studio.
I did say she could run around the studio, but she declined.
Yeah, usually I'm not tethered. Usually I like a radio mic and off I go. But my experience with the military was absolutely amazing. I travelled the world. I did Sydney. We did the Edinburgh Tattoo Down Under in Sydney. I then did New Zealand the following year, Gibraltar many times, Cyprus many times, and then India as well, which is, it's just a magnificent experience that all culminate together in the show that you come and see when you see me as Madam Misfit. All these wonderful experiences of life and the people and just the connection, the positive energy behind music. And I'm a firm believer that music is medicine. And I see that foremost when I'm in those village halls and care homes.
Okay, we'd better hear some of your music now, I think. Do you want to introduce the first song for us, Sarah, please?
So the first song is just regarding an issue I hold very close to my heart. It's about recycling and it's called The Wumbling Song.
Okay, that was fantastic.
Here we go.
I can't believe that you took The Wumbling Song and produced or made something quite clever from it. But I suppose that's what wumbling's all about, isn't it?
It is, yeah. So funnily enough, I actually feature on clarinet in that song. I like to drop it in now and again to make sure I don't get too rusty on it, as it's what I used to do. But yeah, no, I kind of I wanted to educate those just regarding, so the three R's of recycling, as everyone knows after the song, reduce, reuse and recycle. And a lot of my fan base is made up of steampunk and cosplayers, of which a lot of their outfits are recycled things.
Yeah.
So the two worked beautifully together. And the most of the generation, most of my following, although there are some younger folk coming listen to my music that aren't aware of the Wumbles, which is sacrilege.
It is, I completely agree.
Sacrilege. So not only am I educating the youngsters... Yeah. So the Wumbling Song. And then to bring in a voiceover artist as David Attenborough was just kind of knitted it all together in this beautiful feel-good response. And yeah.
Yes, I'm not quite sure I approve of you sitting on David Attenborough's knee, but let's go with that.
Well, he makes that perfect granddad figure. And I think just to sit and listen to some of his stories, I think everyone would love him. If they could choose your grandfather, I think he'd be up there as a good focal point for that. But it was to knit those two things together, very passionate and a real feel-good thing. And the hilarity is when I performed that show, and make sure people litter pick as we do the show.
Excellent.
So it works really well. However, the hilarity...
You have a black big bin bag going around.
Yeah, just like, well, we're doing this. Make sure you look around where you stood. Let's keep to the ethos of the song. But the music video that went with it, hilariously, was filmed, I think, as we were coming out of the pandemic. And it was filmed at a nearby pumping station. And I'd pre-warned a couple of fans, would you like to be in the video? But we're going to have to bring in a clean and sanitised litter to put on the floor for you then to pick up.
Did you get many takers?
I did, actually. There's about 20 people picking up litter and putting into this bin. If you find the video, it's there. It was a hilarious thing and it was lovely. But I had to make sure people knew that the venue we were at isn't actually a very filthy place. We imported litter. So.
It's the thought of people sanitising their litter. So what did Madam Misfit come from? Where, I mean, you say that she was, you brought her into the world in 2020, sorry, as part of the pandemic. Had you not thought about doing her before?
Yeah, well, she just never really had a name. I think it's part of the self-discovery of me, really. So, as I said, I joined the Air Force at 18. So sort of that, I don't know, fun, vibrant side of me that you might experience at college and uni, I didn't get. So I was very much, I didn't say forced, it was my own choice, but I was militarised, institutionalised, quite, you know, a very sensible person. So this, in a way, is sort of me rebelling back a little bit now and having a bit of fun in a way that I didn't get to do in those early years, maybe.
Because I understand she can be a bit naughty sometimes.
She can be a little bit, yes. Yeah, right. Obviously, my shows happen at all times of the day. I do family-friendly daytime shows, but I also work a lot in the burlesque and cabaret industry as well, doing sort of a clownish sort of routine there on stage. So
how do the two shows differ then?
Well, language mainly. But yeah, I mean, being a mother, you know, daytime shows for me, I just take on mother hen. I absolutely adore getting children involved, and I've got so many fans that are children. It's amazing that they come up to me and ask for autographs, and they're singing along. They know the Wumbles. They've had the right education as well. They love it. They really find it funny. And I think and it's good for parents as well, because I come across as this vibrant, confident person. The children just want to latch onto that. And maybe I come across quite silly and that. But when I lead the conga line for the skin you're in, they are the first at the front of that conga line. And it's beautiful, you know, to expose children to live music and go and see it a show, because listening and seeing are two very different things. You know, during the pandemic that showed a lot. So as you said, 2020 was when I really started as Madam Misfit. There 5 years before that, I'd just been performing as Sarah Jane. I'd performed in the Straight and Narrow, actually, in Lincoln, just as Sarah Jane. I just did postmodern jukebox covers, mainly just a covers girl. And then 2020 hit, and I released a song called Inspector Gadget. And amazingly for me, with the pandemic, a lot of people turned to online streaming. And that's when sort of things happened for me. Because people were listening to me online, my fan base grew a lot quicker than maybe if people weren't doing that. But talking about the energy side of things, having to do online shows, streaming shows to a tiny camera was very difficult. So I'm already quite a full-on personal character as Madam Misfit. So trying to put as much energy and effort down a tiny camera was even harder. But I did it, and a lot of it brightened a lot of people's, you know, darker days up. And so if that's what I was like down a camera, coming to see me in a live show is an experience.
Yeah. I can imagine. I think experience is probably the word, isn't it?
Yes, definitely. I like to make sure you feel involved and feel loved.
I do. And I'm just sitting here. I've been treated to Sarah's singing. And I would say she is singing live. We do have a backing track. We haven't got David Attenborough sitting here as well.
Shame.
Yeah, we did try, but unfortunately he's a bit busy this week. But we are going to hear another one of your songs now, Sarah. Can you introduce this one, please?
Yes, so actually this takes me back to sort of Halloween. So this song is called Feels a Little Strange, a little bit spookier, and it's more of a singing one, so I hope you enjoy it.
Fantastic. I have to be honest, I didn't get the spooky feel to it.
Maybe just spooky.
I'll try harder next time. So you write all your own stuff?
Yes. Yeah. A sample, obviously, there's a couple of remixes in there, but it is nice. I enjoy writing. It's one of my favourite things I've discovered about myself. In this whole journey into learning more about me, hence since I left the military. Mm-hmm. Before then, I wrote comical limericks at birthday parties, funny poems. And then fast forward to now, you know, I'm technically a rap artist, and I hate the term rap artist. It sounds, I prefer poetry with a beat.
I was going to say, I wouldn't have said you're a rap artist, but perhaps my understanding of rap is different. I'm curious about how you fall into a rap artist.
Yes, it's so there's a very small genre in the world I perform in called chap hop. There's only three of us in the genre, hence it being very small, and it is basically very posh rap in a hip hop sort of style. Yeah, so I used to frequent the Straight and Narrow, and I would go and see a lovely friend, or I was a fangirl at the time of a chap called Professor Elemental and Mr. B the Gentleman Rhymer. And I just enjoyed their stuff. It was silly songs of tea and trousers and cakes and moustaches and all of that sort of thing. And the steampunk community known locally in Lincoln would attend as well. And I just mentioned at the end of one of the shows that, oh, by the way, I'm a singer as well. And the professor said to me, oh, well, next time I'm in Lincoln, I'll send you a message and you can come and join me. And thought nothing of it. And then the email arrived. I can't sing Vera Lynn on stage. And that's how it started.
Wow.
I know. So I literally had to Google because, you know, my music up until then was just 1940s covers. So I literally Googled the word vintage remix and up came a genre called electro swing, which is a mix between old and new. So films like Great Gatsby featured electro swing songs. So I started doing covers, as I mentioned before, like Postmodern Jukebox. And that worked really well with the professor for a little while. I did covers of In the Mood and Minnie the Moocher. And then he sort of said to me the back end of 2019, I think you should do something with this. And that's when the name Madam Misfit was given. And that's when Inspector Gadget was written in 2020. And we know what happened then.
Yes. COVID struck.
I know. The killer.
So obviously COVID did strike.
Mm-hmm.
And Madam Misfit was born.
Yes. Yeah, that was strange. It was hard launching as a new artist to a world that had no events.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that, but yes.
Yeah.
Where do you perform?
Where do I perform? Well, as I'm starting a studio in Lincoln Asylum, Lincoln Steampunk Asylum. It's the world's largest steampunk event, and it always happens August Bank Holiday weekend. So fingers crossed I'll be there this year.
Yeah.
But I'm up and down the country. I mean, I've just come off, so Sci-Fi Weekender. I play at a lot of Comic-Con events. So I was performing at Great Yarmouth a few weekends ago. I was headlining on the main stage there, throwing sweets into the audience and leading the longest conga line I've ever done. I was on the stage with people dressed as chimps. It was amazing. So that, if you're into cosplay and Comic-Con, you can see me at Sci-Fi Weekend and next March as well in Great Yarmouth. But locally, I'm going to be performing at the Walled Gardens Bomber for their Steampunk Day as well. That'll be on the 20th of May. I'm excited by that. But I'm everywhere, which is exciting and
it
scary.
Sounds like it.
I'm very busy. I'm doing a South Coast tour. Me and my little car are heading down to Southampton, Bournemouth, Cornwall and Devon to go and spread the love down there. I'm a little bit nervous as a Lincolnshire lass. It's
kind of you are originally from Lincolnshire then.
I'm not a full Yellow Valley. No, I know.
Neither am I.
So I was born in Chester. So from Cheshire. I'm a Cheshire girl, really. And then I signed to join the Air Force, and mm-hmm. they shipped me off to RAF Cranwell, and I just never left. It's a good hub. I've got a good balance of life, really. Yeah. You know, I can beautiful landscapes, beautiful walks, affordable living, sort of the housing, and I'm not too. The A1's a good thing. I live on the A1.
Interesting. I'm picturing a little caravan now on the A1, but no. So you obviously don't live in a caravan on the A1. Interesting thoughts, that is. But you are a local Lincolnshire lass, we'll say, mm-hmm. without the yellow belly.
Yes. I do like plum loaf, though, and Lincolnshire sausages, so...
That's a good start. I think that almost gets you in.
Yeah, I think so.
Do you need more qualifications than that?
So, yeah. Plum loaf, lovely. I love the cathedral. I've done the tower tour. Beautiful. Mm. Love that. Yeah, definitely. But no, I live in Woodall Spa, so not a million miles away. You know, I'm often in Lincoln if I'm not busking on the high street.
Fantastic.
Which is a new thing for 2023. Yeah.
What sort of stuff do you perform on the high street?
So not the Madame Misfit stuff, unfortunately. Okay. So no, just some of the classics. I mean, I was last out on Valentine's Day performing a little bit of Nat King Cole, Love, L-O-V-E, which was lovely. And it's part of my whole ethos of music being medicine. Mm-hmm. Cheering up somebody who has no idea they're going to see you. They just go out and doing their, you know, their day-to-day shopping. And then people coming up to me and saying, I've had to put extra money on my parking ticket because I've just got my sandwiches and I've come to sit and listen to you. And it's a beautiful thing for people unexpectedly to come along and enjoy a little bit of song and dance. And it's good practice for me as well as a lyricist and a vocalist. I have to keep those muscles going. Yeah. So over January, February, I did quite a bit of busking and I'll probably be out again. Weather dependent at the moment, so
I was going to say January, February. Surely it was a bit cold.
It was a bit cold, but you know, I don't mind it at the moment. When the
you're obviously a harder girl if you've been in the RAF.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's it. But yeah, no, you can often find me on the high street busking, just to kind of the vintage classics, really. So come and say hello.
Can we have a list of dates you're going to be on the high street?
There isn't. I literally, it's weather dependent. I don't have a specific day. The best way to find out is to follow me on social media, really. And then I usually put a plug up saying, I might be out tomorrow. If it's raining, don't bother.
Okay, you say the best thing to do is follow you on social media. So mm-hmm. how can we do that?
So as Madam Misfit, so you can find me on Instagram, just words Madam, no E, Madam Misfit, or I'm on Facebook as well. Or if you've enjoyed the idea of some of the videos, I've mentioned all the songs I've played today have got videos with them. Just head to YouTube and look for Madam Misfit and you'll find them on there as well.
Fab. I know what I'm going to be doing this afternoon.
If you want to find more about my tours as well or where I'm playing, just head to my website. Just Google the words Madam Misfit. It's .co.uk and there's a bit there that says future shows. And I've also got loads of merchandise as well. If you want a T-shirt with my bits on that I'm wearing today that you can't see. I've got CDs as well, if anyone still uses CDs. I've got those and badges and all sorts. So, yeah.
Excellent. Did you bring any with you?
I didn't actually, no. Got a T-shirt if you want that off my back.
I'll let you keep that on. I know you said you're a hardy ex-RAF, but I'm not that cruel. It is only March. Just because the sun's... Oh, no, it's April now.
Oh, nice.
Just because the sun's out.
This is it. Lovely. We'll get the Barbie on. Ice cream.
And dodge the raindrops.
I know. Not good.
What are your plans for the future then? Obviously, gigging on the high street aside.
So I'm always, I'm such an indulgent person. I get easily excited and I throw myself into an array of things. So 2024, there is a possible tour of America, which I really, really hope is going to come off. Yes. But in my head, until I'm on that plane... Anything
you're not going to believe it.
No, not going to believe it. I don't want to get too excited. So there is a possible tour of America. I'm also in talks of doing a few fringe things. So I'd love to do Edinburgh Fringe. Mm-hmm. But looking at more kind of firmed things. So I have just started a wonderful project called the Carnival of Chaos. I don't know if you've seen anything about that.
I haven't, but I think I'm about to find out about it.
So I now come along with my own show. So obviously, like a band or a cabaret or a burlesque show, you can now book me, Madame Misfit, and her Carnival of Chaos, which is basically me and sideshow, circus sideshow. And it's in one big show, and we perform, you know, defeats of pain and gore and burlesque, and there's a bit of magic in there as well, and then me doing a clown, and it's all hosted by my wonderful friend who makes the most amazing ringmaster, you know, Hugh Jackman, eat your heart out. And we've been doing little pop-up shows throughout this year. We did a show up in York a few weeks ago, and we're now at Brighton Fringe in a few weeks, and then we'll be in Reading. But on the Friday the 13th of October, we will actually be at Southside in Lincoln, which is very exciting.
Wow.
It'll say Catherine's, so we're doing a huge circus event there, which anybody and everyone I want to come along to. So once all the posters and that go out, I'll make sure I send you a copy, Joe. So
yes, please.
You can share about it and get you along as well in a team. It would be lovely. It's going to be amazing. I've got stilt walkers. I've got a Charlie Chaplin lookalike. I've got jugglers and yeah.
That sounds so exciting.
Yeah. In my head, it sounds amazing.
It's well, in mine, be, it yeah. sounds quite amazing.
It's going to be good.
Too.
For Lincoln, I think it'll be epic. Yeah, I can't wait to bring people to it. So, yeah.
So, you obviously haven't done this all by yourself, have you?
Ish.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, my lovely host supports me in a lot of my ideas because dipping my toe into circus, the world of circus, is very new for me.
Yeah.
I know how life works as a musician, but working with aerial artists and things like that, very new to me. So working with wonderful Adam Washington, he's my host, but he's also the ringmaster to the local touring circus show as well. So he spent 6 months with a travelling circus. So he's very qualified in the world of circus. So he lets me know things that that need to go ahead regarding working with circus types and that. But it's a beautiful and equally crazy show. So again, if you're interested in that or would like to book us as well, we are bookable. You can book the circus or you can book me for your own show. But yeah, just head over to my website for more details. And the video as well is very chaotic in terms of the name of the show.
It sounds it. Sarah, I am in awe of your talent. We are going to hear you sing again now. It's a song you've already mentioned, but I'm going to let you introduce it anyway.
Yes, so one of my key issues I like to bring to the forefront is giving each and every one of my audience and my listeners and my fans confidence in their bodies. It shouldn't matter what size or shape you are. We are each beautiful inside and out. And I'm going to leave you with a lovely song called The Skin You're In.
Fantastic. I cannot believe, really, that so much great stuff comes out of your mouth. Sorry, that sounds very rude, I appreciate. But it's your voice is incredible.
Thank you.
I would love to hear you do some classical, you know, some wartime songs.
That's for another show.
But that is for another show. I'll see if I can book her shortly. But what gave you the idea of doing the conga?
Well, I have these crazy ideas. And I'm very much, if you're going to do something, go big and go bold. And it was creating that sort of gimmick, a thing that people want to be part of. And it's come to a point now that people are already starting to queue when the song starts, because the conga line starts sort of halfway through the track. And if you can imagine, towards the end of that track, I am leading. Usually I'm dressed as a peacock, depending on so if you watch the music video, there's
you've
got to watch. This beautiful burlesque peacock outfit was made for me by the wonderful Elia Toise burlesque troupe up in Barnsley, who featured in the music video. So they made me this amazing outfit, and occasionally I'm able to wear it at venues, and I kind of hop down from the stage. And I usually already ask someone to be next in line. Mm-hmm. And usually it's somebody who has had issues with identifying or their own self-love. And I've approached them. And it's sort of an honour now to lead that conga with me, mm-hmm. and people really resonate with it. And I've had people in tears sending me emails afterwards. You know, it's their alarm clock in the morning, their feel-good song. And to be in that conga line marching, I mean, I must have had a conga of 200 people last weekend around this huge, huge exhibition room of people who are just confident in themselves, you know. And I think we should all have a little bit of peacock promenading in life.
Yeah,
it's okay to feel good about yourself now and again.
Excellent. I think that's an extremely important message. As somebody who was bullied myself, you mentioned you were bullied as well. I don't want to drag that up if that's painful for you, but
yeah, it's hard. It's hard as a kid as well, because you don't really have the language or the know-how. You sort of just accept it and hide. I didn't really bite back. And crazily, it was because of my hair. And I was a geek. I'm not even a geek now that I associate with nerds at cosplays and that. I'm definitely not a geek. I was maybe a swot. Maybe I was a little bit intelligent. But they're just kids. Kids can be hurtful. And it's hard now as a mother trying to look out for my own kids. You don't want to do too much because it pulls them out. You don't want to do too little. It's a very hard balance, you know, yeah. to just sit back and just now and again, how was school today sort of thing. But yeah, bullying is not, obviously it's not a nice thing in any way, but being able to deal with it, maybe forming a conga line is a bit extreme. I couldn't have done that as a 13-year-old, but yeah, definitely. And I think people are coming wise to it now. There's better ways. I mean, we're talking 2000 when I was at school, so...
talking a lot earlier than that when I was at school, but let's not go into that. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you, Sarah. I could probably sit here and let you talk to me or talk with you for another 3 hours, but I don't have that long on my show, I'm afraid, so I'm going to have to let you go.
Thank you very much for having me, Jo.
No, thank you for coming in, Sarah. You've been an absolute delight.